and welcome to another episode of the Burt's Books podcast. I am here today with Michael, which feels like the first time in a very long time.
It is. I checked the other day. I've read 15 books since I was last here.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a
bit
behind.
And there you were telling me that you're struggling to think of what to talk about.
I know, right? There's too many.
Too many.
Too many.
So what have you been up to? How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I've been working very hard-ish. And
where?
I don't know. Not with you. And yeah, no, all is fine. Same old, same old.
Good, good.
Yes.
It's been a while because we had Keith.
You did.
We had a week that was Sally.
Yes.
Then we also had the week that it was me, you and Sally, but we recorded that in the shop.
Yes, we did.
It's been a while. We haven't got Pedro banging around in the background this week.
No, that's true. If he wants to come into my flat and tidy up, he's more than welcome.
I hope that wasn't too distracting for people.
I've not listened yet, actually, still, so I will have to...
Nobody's left a comment.
That's
nobody's
fine,
commented.
Then. That's okay.
But I know that when I was listening and I edited it, I was like, there's Pedro ripping up a box. There's Pedro doing this.
He makes his presence known.
He does. It was almost like, I don't think he's ever made that much noise. I think he was doing it because he knew there was recording.
Going showing off.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like when a child.
Yes.
It's like when you have a parent has a friend round.
Yeah.
And suddenly the child appears and starts banging things.
Yes.
And has been sat upstairs all day just reading his own book.
Yeah. Know that feeling.
Do you? Do you have a child?
No, but I know that I was like that as a kid.
Okay, so yeah,
that's what I meant.
It's like, oh, some new news.
I mean, if I do, it's news to me as well.
Well, we'll put out a
no,
call
don't,
on
no,
the
put
podcast.
Out a call. I don't want to know.
If anyone does look like Michael and is wondering about your paternity, do ring us on 07.
No. I'm not paying any child support.
I've got a couple of books. Well, I've got a book to talk about.
Good.
With you.
Lovely.
Which, in fact, we actually recorded a while back. So we're going to talk about You Are Here.
Oh, yes.
Which is the David Nichols book. So we've got that one.
A conversation I remember very well.
Well, I'm going to listen back to it just before we put it out in case it's just full of swear words.
That's fair.
And alcohol use and drug abuse. Because who knows?
That's
who
true.
Knows what we get up to?
That's true.
And have you got a book for me?
I have a book for you as well, yes.
Exciting.
Picked one off the pile.
Picked one off the pile of 15.
Yes. Well, it was this or another Agatha, so...
Well, thank God that you've gone with this one.
Exactly.
Well, we'll find out what it is on the other side of this music. What have you been reading? Well, apart from all the other 14 novels.
Apart from all the other things, what I'm going to talk to you about is Fair Rosaline by Natasha Solomons.
Interesting. Now, this is, I'm slightly aware of this, is it based on Shakespeare?
It is based on Shakespeare, yes. So, for people who, well, I'll read the blurb and then you get the gist, that's fine.
Start there.
Romeo Montague is handsome and charming, and the first time he sees young Rosaline Capulet, who has secretly snuck into his family's masquerade summer ball, he falls instantly in love. At first, Rosaline is unsure of Romeo's attentions, but with her father determined that she join the nunnery, Romeo offers her the chance of a different life. Gradually, he convinces her that only true love could make him feel this way, that he is enraptured by her beauty. Indeed, he cannot live without her. And so begins the story of Romeo and Rosaline. These star-crossed lovers must keep everything hidden from Rosaline's family, at least until they are wed. But when a destitute young girl appears, claiming to be carrying Romeo's child, Rosaline starts to doubt all that she's been told. And as whispers of more girls reach her ears, what once felt like courtship begins to feel more like a pursuit. As Rosaline recognises Romeo for the villain he truly is, his gaze turns suddenly towards Rosaline's adored and beautiful cousin, 13-year-old Juliet. Can Rosaline save Juliet, who falls under Romeo's spell just as quickly as she did? Or can this story only ever end one way? So this is basically...
retelling of Hamlet.
Yes, it's retelling of Hamlet, yes. So, people who know Romeo and Juliet, in the first act, Romeo is mooning about going, oh, I love Rosaline, she's so pretty, I love her, oh my god, she's amazing. And then, as soon as he meets Juliet, forgets entirely that Rosaline never existed. So this is the story of Rosaline herself, and kind of going, okay, but what was that story then? And it turns out that basically Romeo has been putting it about somewhat through Verona, and has a string of women and young girls he's been leaving behind.
Bit of a cad.
Bit of a cad, yes. Ordinarily, I'm very much of the opinion with remakes and retellings and sequels and God knows what, you know, have a new idea, as I've shouted at you many times before.
Yes, you have.
Yes, but something about this really appealed, of just like, let's take a story that we know and actually not just retell it in the same way, let's look at it from a slightly different angle. So the first half of the book is very unfamiliar. The second half of the book is unfamiliar in that it's narrated by Rosaline, but the second half of the book is basically Romeo and Juliet from a different point of view. So a lot of the original dialogue is in there and whatnot, a lot of the original action, but it's often with a slight twist on it. And you sort of get the impression that Rosaline was there a lot more than Shakespeare's version lets on.
So she was in... I never did Romeo and Juliet.
She's only mentioned, you never see her.
Right, okay.
In the thing. So this is like a character who's mentioned twice in the original play, never has any of her own agency, and this is going, let's give these minor characters some agency.
And what do we know about her in the original play?
We know that Romeo is in love with her. That is okay. Literally, I don't think there's anything else we ever really pick up about her. So this is fully fleshed out. In the back it does say that Solomon's had, because she had no basis to start with Rosaline, she's used the other Rosaline and Rosalinds that are in Shakespeare's plays as her basis for this Rosaline. Because there are other characters called Rosaline turn up as well. So this is, starting with that, she's Juliet's cousin. Her mother has recently died of plague. She is dark-skinned, which is very unusual in Verona at the time as well. It's just a whole different... It just twists the story on its head a bit, and you see Romeo in a different light, and you see the Friar Lawrence in a different light as well, which is quite interesting.
I don't know much about Friar Lawrence.
Friar Lawrence is the one who marries Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
And gives them the sleeping draught.
Oh, okay, yes.
But there's more to that than you think there's going to be as well.
Interesting.
So, yes. It's nicely done.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we did briefly speak about this when you read it. And we said how, actually, Romeo and Juliet is one of the greatest, air quotes, love stories of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they both died at the end. Like,
yes.
If they'd carried on, if they hadn't died, love had been allowed to be, they were, what, 12 and 15?
Juliet's 13, Romeo. It's quite clever in this. It never really clarifies how old Romeo is.
Yeah.
They kind of go, oh, I can't work out if he's, like, 16 or if he's 30. You know, it's very ambiguous.
But it's like, well, if they had survived... They would have got married, they'd have had kids, they'd have been a very unhappy relationship, and they'd have divorced by the time they were 28.
Wouldn't have divorced. I know what you mean, yeah.
Like, it's what people quite often say about, Romeo and Juliet, you know, they aspire to be. It's like, well, actually, we're telling ourselves a lie. This is no great love story.
Well, that is indeed...
Because it wouldn't have survived.
No, exactly. And indeed, this is the proof copy I've got, and the cover just says, the greatest love story of all time was a lie.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. So it is... And I think Romeo and Juliet is a great story, whether it's a great love story.
Well, that's it. It's a tragic love story.
Yeah, it's a very tragic love story. Because, you know, it lasted 3 days and 5 people died. So it's very hard to kind of go, oh, how wonderful.
And I think my love life's bad.
Exactly. and it's just, I don't read much stuff that's set, like, historically either. So that's quite nice to sort of go to 16th century Verona and play in that play bit for a bit. It's good fun.
Would you, you said you don't normally like sort of retellings, would this make you read a few more?
Possibly. It very much depends. If it is just someone doing exactly the same story again, it's more with films I have the issue.
Yeah.
It's doing the same story again, I'm like, okay, we've done that story, let's do something else. This is at least taking a very minor character and kind of going, let's give them something to do. And, but if it was a case of, if we were just making up a whole new set of characters for this story, I think it would still work. But because Romeo and Juliet's story is so well known, the resonance is already there of kind of going, I know where this is going. It's a foregone conclusion, really, as to, you know, where it's going, or so we're led to believe. You know, I'm not necessarily saying if it ends the same way as the play does.
Well, I would assume that the play ending is probably not the same time of that Rosalind story probably carries on after the end of the play.
Perhaps it does.
I would assume.
Exactly.
So one of the reasons I ask that is because I've read a few retellings of Greek myth.
Yeah, I've read a few of them, yeah.
And what I like about Ariadne, for instance,
yes.
is a very good one by Jennifer Saint. In the, it took a story I didn't really know
mm-hmm.
and introduced me to it.
Yes.
And taught me something. So, like, the Minotaur
mm-hmm.
and Icarus.
Yes.
All happened at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so that was... That's, I say it happened at the same time, it's all myth. But you know what I mean, it's
yes,
it's connected.
Yes, exactly, it's all tied together.
And what that did was take some women from Greek myth, Ariadne, her sister Phaedra, and retell the stories that they're in from their point of view. So you see a bit of the Minotaur, you see a bit of, I think it's Jason...
yeah, there's a bit of that in there, yeah.
And the god that Ariadne ends up seeing, and you sort of see all of that, and it spins it into one narrative rather than, because I think her story just appears in bits of various others, and takes it into one, but then also reframes it and says, well, actually, this is what the women were doing, and there is and this thing that is a throwaway line about Phaedra.
Yeah.
This is actually the reasoning for it, and this is what you don't see, and this is what it actually was.
Yes, I like the expansion of these things.
That's
I like,
it. Yeah, it's like an expansion. Playing in the world, doesn't contradict what the basis was, but it also then does give something new.
Yes,
I've subsequently read other books mm-hmm. again, mostly in Greek myth, because there was that whole sort of explosion of Greek myth retellings. Where they go into it and it's a retelling, and I get to the end of it and go, well, what was the point in that?
Yes. Yeah.
I think I actually mentioned this last week with Keith. Mm. But it was, what was the point?
Yeah.
You haven't done anything new with this. Whereas actually it sounds like with Vera Rosaline,
yes.
it's done something new with a character that we didn't really know much about.
Yeah, it's given it's Romeo particularly that you've given this whole new take on him and just kind of go... not the dreamboat that you think he's going to be. Actually, not a nice fella. I've done a few. Actually, I was just thinking of a few variations of Romeo and Juliet before as well. So the stage show and Juliet, which I don't think is on anymore, but it was fantastic. It's a musical based on the concept of what if Juliet hadn't died at the end of the play, and she carries on and goes and has her next life.
Yes.
But with music of Backstreet Boys, Katy Perry, and Britney Spears thrown.
Does Romeo still die in that?
I wouldn't like to say.
Okay.
Because it's spoilers, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure it's part of the premise of the...
I'll tell you. So basically it is Juliet survives, but then Shakespeare and Anne Hathaway are characters in it as well.
Oh.
And Anne Hathaway is going, rewrite it, do it with Juliet surviving. And then halfway through, Shakespeare goes, I'm going to make Romeo live as well.
Oh, okay.
And so Romeo turns up again. Thing. Okay. But in the meantime, Juliet's... engaged to someone else. And it's all gone wrong. The other version I read of this, which was brilliant and a very different version of Romeo and Juliet, was called Romeo and or Juliet, and it was a choose your own adventure of Romeo and Juliet, which was really good fun, really silly, lots of different endings. One ending had you destroying Verona in a boat with giant mech suits, and there was a whole sub game in it where you played as the nurse and stuff. so you can do fun things with...
By Ryan North.
Ryan North, indeed, yes. Mm. So you can do fun things with Romeo and Juliet.
I mean, well, I might add that to the website. I will, just with the iteration, it's $18.99 paperback.
It's a pricey one, but it is really good fun. I think he's done another play as well.
It looks like it's got quite a lot of illustrations in it.
Yeah, it does. It's really good book. It's really good. I just think if you're going to play around with books that are in the public domain and redo them,
do something
fun with them, do something different.
Well, it sounds like they did with Fair Rock.
They did. This is a good one.
So you would recommend?
I do indeed, yes.
And where if somebody wanted to now buy that, where would they go?
I'd recommend birdsbooks.co.uk.
Excellent, good plan. It's time for my favourite part of the week, and that is, of course, the bestseller charts. We use data sourced from Nielsen Bookscan's total consumer market to find out what the top 10 best-selling books across the whole of the UK are.
And we use data sourced from Burt's Books itself to find out what the top five best-selling books in Swindon are. Some would say that is perhaps the biggest and most important barometer of exactly what is popular out there in the literary world. We'll start with the top 10 in the UK because that is slightly less important, and we'll build up to the big reveal of what is at the top of the pillar of popularity. And in fact, there are six new entries into the top 10 this week, so quite a bit of change. We had Fourth Wing at number one last week. It had 2 weeks there. Will it still be there? Will it be one of the survivors of the top 10, or will it have fallen out? Well, we will start at number 10 with Everyone Here Is Lying by Shari Lapena. That's the paperback edition of the hardback that came out last year. We were very lucky and had Shari come and visit us, which is a great, great book, great to talk to her. Definitely recommend that one. At 9, it's After That Night, another new entry. This one is the Karen Slaughter novel, the latest in the Will Trent series. Again, another paperback after the hardback came out last year. At 8, down 3 places from its position last week at 5, is Dogman 12, The Scarlet Shedder, and that is by Dav Pilkey. Up 2 places this week, in fact the only book inside the top 10 to rise, is Chris Broad with Abroad in Japan. At 6, we've got My Favourite Mistake, that's the new one from Marion Keyes, brand new hardback, straight into the top 10. At number 5, Wild Love by Elsie Silver. I don't know this one, but it is a paperback. It's brand new, and it says here product class romance and sagas. So it's probably looking at the average selling price of it as well, selling really well in supermarkets, this one. Then at number 4, down from last week's number 1, it's Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. Number 3, down 1 place from last week's number 2, it is The Secret by Lee Child and Andrew Child. Those of you who are keeping count will know that that means we've got 2 brand new titles in the top 2. At number 2, it's Powerful by Lauren Roberts, which is a young adult title. Something I don't know, but it's I suspect, looking at the heading that they've put against this book, TikTok made me buy it. It's something that is doing really well online, so we'll have to look at getting a copy into the shop or two. And at number 1, it's another Board of Lunch. This one is the Healthy Air Fryer 30-Minute Meals. It's straight in at number 1, brand new edition of the Nathan Anthony series. Doesn't do very well for us, but I think this sort of book does really well in supermarkets and in the likes of places like WH Smith and, of course, on Jeff's Rocket Funding website. But let's talk about the books that do well for us. We've got the pillar of popularity. These are the 5 books that are selling the most in Swindon last week. And it is more up to date than the top 10 we've just heard. So the top 10 is a week old by the time you hear it. This is fresh off the, I don't know what it's off of, but it's fresh. So number 5, it was in the charts last week. It's The Hours by Michael Cunningham. This is our LGBT book club choice for what month are we in? For April. So we'll be talking about that in early May. At number 4, A History of the World in 47 Borders. This one has been huge for us. We actually only received our stock late on Friday. We put it out and I have sold quite a few copies since then. It looks really, really interesting. And I can see why people would pick it up, because it's just really nicely produced. It looks very tempting. We had it in our window and somebody just came in and they had to buy it. It's a lovely looking hardback. It's by John Ellis. Check it out if you haven't seen a copy yet. At number 3, it's 73 Dove Street by Julie Owen Moylan. She was in a week or so ago to talk about her book alongside Stacey Halls. Well, that one is still doing really well. We've got signed copies in the shop and people are picking them up. At number 2, speaking of signed copies, it's Black Fawn by Sarah Hillary. Sarah was in the shop this week, just gone, and she was talking about her latest release alongside Harriet Tice, who is at number 1 with A Lesson in Cruelty. Both really interesting books, so check them out. Next week in the charts, we've got Heidi Stevens coming into the shop, and we've got Keith Stewart coming into the shop. So I would expect to see both of their books on the charts. It'll be interesting to see what else makes it onto the pillar, whether History of the World in 47 Borders continues to do well. It's made it into the pillar based on pretty much one day's sales alone. So we might see that one do quite well as well. But in terms of what else is going on, I just won't know until we get there. And the best way for you to find out, in fact, the only way for you to find out, is by listening to the Burt's Books podcast. You are here.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. It's also the name of David Nichols' new book.
Hey, David Nichols is back.
David Nichols is back. He is here too. Well, he's not actually here.
Okay.
He's here tonight. this one, well, shall I read it to you? Well, not the whole thing.
Yes. I do have dinner plans.
Settle down. Okay. Settle in. Marnie is stuck. Stuck working alone in her London flat. Stuck battling the long afternoons and a life that increasingly feels like it's passing her by. Michael is coming undone.
Yes, he is.
Then back to the blurb. reeling from his wife's departure, increasingly reclusive, taking himself on long, solitary walks across the moors and fells, when a persistent mutual friend and some very English weather conspire to bring them together, Marnie and Michael suddenly find themselves alone on the most epic of walks, and on the precipice of a new friendship. But can it survive the journey? Now,
a bit too close to home, carry on.
So a little bit more about this. Oh, no, it's fine. We're in April now. You'll have forgotten all about that.
Oh, that's fine.
The blurb gives you the idea, but basically they are, Marnie is basically a bit of a recluse. She's divorcing her husband. And her friend Chloe is like, come for this walk with me. I'm going for a walk with my friend Michael, who I teach with. And he doesn't really want me there, but I'm going with him anyway. And I'm bringing along a friend for you, and I'm bringing along a friend for him. So she's not setting up Michael and Marnie.
Okay.
She's setting up Marnie with another guy and Michael with another woman.
Yeah.
And the other woman that she's setting up Michael with doesn't turn up.
Okay.
And the guy that she's setting up Marnie with, and they get on well, he's not really a walkie type of person. And on the first night, he's out of there. He's gone. He wakes up in the morning, leaves them all night saying, this is not really for me. But Marnie, I'll text you.
Yeah.
We'll be in contact. I liked you, didn't like the walking. And so then basically people peel away and then you'll end up with Marnie is like, well, I've got another day booked on this journey, but everybody's gone apart from Michael. So Michael's walking coast to coast.
Okay.
And following the Wainwright thing.
Yeah.
And Marnie's like, well, I may as well just join you on this last day. I've got the hotel booked. I may as well come. And then because she's got no life, she's like, well, I'll just stay for another day.
Yeah.
And then stay for another day. And so they develop a friendship. David Nichols, let's be honest. As I said to somebody in the shop recently, there's not going to be a massive surprise in this book. In many ways, it's not about the ending, it's about the journey.
Of course.
With his books. And literally on this one, it's also about the journey.
Yeah, yeah.
How was it? I said, there's not a massive surprise. And she said, so let me guess, there's two people, they fall in love, then something happens and they have a bit of a breakup, and then they meet up again. I was like, pretty much.
But he does it so well.
He does it so well. and the journey on this one, literally the walk, you can feel the walk, you can see the countryside, you can see the rubbishy little pubs that they end up spending some time in. And you just like spending time with these characters.
Yeah. That's his strongest bit. He is so good with characters.
Yeah.
And like, you know, his books have a little, it's only really one day, isn't it, that has the sort of a gimmick to it. But, you know, he does create these characters that you go, I want to spend time with you. Definitely, you know, and you know, whatever happens to them, I'm on board with you. I say this more as well because One Day has just appeared as a TV series and I've started watching it.
Are you enjoying it?
I really am. Yeah.
Well, by the time everyone's hearing about this, everyone will have seen the TV series.
Exactly.
You're well out of fashion
now. Exactly. The book's still better, just to clarify.
Obviously.
But, you know,
Have you read any of his other books?
I was thinking this the other day. I don't know if I ever actually have. I think I've read Start of a Ten.
Right.
But I'm not 100% sure.
Because I think everybody's read One Day.
Yeah. And One Day was the big one, wasn't it?
I haven't read Us.
I've not read Us.
But I did read Sweet Sorrow.
Oh, that was the other one. Yes. Was that any good?
I really enjoyed that. So that one was... the gimmick, as you like, in that one was told... a point of view of a man looking back on his childhood.
Right.
In the 90s. So I think he was heading to a school reunion or something. But in the 90s, he spent a summer learning Shakespeare.
Okay.
And for a girl.
Of course.
He joined an acting thing and he met this girl. And the one thing I always get out of that book, I always think back when I remember reading that book, was this scene in the woods where she is teaching him the meaning of Shakespeare,
right,
and how to act, and it's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wish somebody would sit me down and talk to me about Shakespeare in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you suddenly understood what Shakespeare was about, yeah, and what he was doing. And I think, like, that's the power of Nichols's writing,
yeah, yeah,
is that he can do that. And then on this one, the countryside of the walks, and there are bits that will stick by in my head.
Yeah.
I think possibly not as much as Sweet Sorrow. I think I enjoy, right, Sweet Sorrow more.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also, I mean, I read One Day. I don't really remember much about One Day.
It sticks with me.
And I know that there's something that should stick with me.
Yeah.
But I actually think Sweet Sorrow was probably better than One Day because I still remember it.
Yeah.
But you are here, still very good. I need to talk about the cover because...
Yeah, it's really nice.
Well, this is a proof.
I know it is, but it's still very nice.
But it's a hardback book. The proof is a hardback. And it says, "You are here" in big letters. And then it's got a cutout of an arrow so you can see through to the end papers. And the end papers are a map of the Lake District National Park.
It is gorgeous. It is a gorgeous thing.
But they've just revealed the cover of the actual book.
Yes, I saw it.
And on this one, it's the same colour. David Nichols is written in big yellow letters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know on an iPhone, when you drop a pin, or you... It's kind of got that funny sort of oval shape,
yeah,
that looks like an arrow. Looks like a point.
Yes.
Like a balloon, I guess.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's got that on the front, and that is cut out.
Oh, I didn't realise that was
And
cut
within
out.
That, it says you are here, and then you open it up to the end papers. And so there's no dust jacket on this book.
Ah,
and I love a book without a dust jacket.
I think that's brave. Yes.
And I really like it. And I think it's going to sell quite well.
He's one of those names, though, isn't he? That if he it's not like he's churning a new one out every year.
No.
When he turns one out, it's an event. Or when Donna Tartt turns one out again, you go, "Oh my God, stop everything!"
I'm going to tell you right now, David Nichols is not on a level with Donna Tartt.
Oh no, no.
But he seems to every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, oh yeah, yeah. He's not as slow as her.
He will not stop traffic.
Donna Tartt
will stop traffic when her book comes out.
Yeah.
But you are here. It's available to order now. It's out this week.
Yes.
We have, or you don't have, signed copies available on the website. If you were quick enough to pre-order them, we had signed copies. If nobody's pre-ordered it, we've still got signed copies. If you were too slow and it's been really popular, I'm really sorry. We'll try and get some more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll try and get some more. Usually if we run out before the book's released, I try and get a few more if they're available. But you are here. Whether you signed copies or not, it's a beautiful book, both the words and the physical object.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do get yourself a copy. It's available to order at birdsbooks.co.uk.
I shall add it to my list.
So that is everything.
It's everything.
You have told me about Fair Rosalind.
Fair Rosalind.
And I have spoken about You Are Here.
Yes.
And I'm being particularly cryptic because we've accidentally, through incredible organisation on my half, I've recorded a conversation with you about You Are Here.
Lovely.
I've also recorded a conversation with Sally about You Are Here.
Well done.
So I haven't yet decided which one I'm going to put in.
Just edit it in such a way that occasionally we just keep swapping in and
yes,
out.
Yes, and then nobody notices.
No, exactly, yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. But somebody will be talking to me about You Are Here. I'm going to listen back to both. It'll be interesting to see whether I said the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. One of us, I hated it. One of us, that's so good.
So good. So that's going to be in the podcast.
Indeed, yes.
We've also looked at the charts. Obviously, I have no idea.
No, such a surprise again.
I actually think it will be a surprise this week. Yeah. Well, maybe not, because we did have Harriet Tice.
Yes, yes.
And we had Sarah Hillary. So yes. I would imagine they are on the...
They
will both be at the top part of the pillar. Mm. It'll be interesting to see what else is on the pillar, because...
I feel like there's been a lot of new releases recently, but I can't think of anything that's done, like, massive numbers.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that has been going really well. Still, 73 Dove Street.
Yes, that's doing well.
That went really well. And Free Body Problem.
Yes, of course, because it's just been gone on TV, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we sold at least two of those this week.
Oh, that's always a bonus.
It'll be interesting to see when I count up whether it was more than two.
Yeah.
But that one, I think, it's out of stock now with the supplier. Of course. I think it's only going to get more popular.
Yes, yeah.
So there's that one as well. If somebody wants to get in contact mm-hmm. with us and wants to share something about their what they're reading, they can email bert@bertsbooks.co.uk.
Lovely.
That is also the place to go if they want to take part in the podcast.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Looking forward to seeing if anyone wants to do a Keef.
Yes,
and join in the podcast.
You do that, it could be another month before I'm back again.
Could, yes.
Treat yourself.
Yes.
You think the more you do that, the less you have to listen to me waffling on.
The more you take part and record the podcast, the less Michael has to do, which is the way that Michael likes.
I do like
life.
Doing nothing.
But you could potentially read another 15 books.
I could.
Agatha.
No, not all Agatha.
Yes. Bert at bertsbooks.co.uk. Indeed. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @bertsbooks.
Yes.
Blue Sky there as well.
Yes.
There's probably something else.
Instagram.
Oh, the WhatsApp channel.
The WhatsApp channel.
You
yes,
can now
indeed.
Find us on the WhatsApp channel. That's exciting.
Yes.
So do that. We've got another event coming up this week.
It's our birthday.
It's our birthday. Well, technically, it's
well,
not.
But ish.
So it's the week before our birthday.
Yes.
But we've got Keith Stewart and we've got Heidi Stevens.
Lovely.
And we're doing it on this day because it's the only day that Heidi could make. She's off to Malmo.
Oh, of course.
She's going to go and do some work on Eurovision.
Indeed,
She's not the Eurovision act. We're not putting her forward.
Oh, that's a shame. We might win.
Well, I don't know how good she can sing.
Oh. It doesn't normally stop whoever we send, does it? Let's be honest.
But also it's the day... So the day that we got the event is the day of Keith Stewart's book coming out.
Lovely. Good.
So we will have both of those.
Is that Love is a Curse?
Love is a Curse.
Yes.
So that will be next Thursday. So if you're listening to this before Thursday the 25th,
yes,
and you would like to buy a ticket,
yes,
you can do that.
Lovely.
You can visit bertsbooks.co.uk, click on the events page, you'll find it there. Or you can just pop into the shop if you're locally based.
Indeed.
And book your ticket in person. I think that's everything. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to
Indeed.
The podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. Michael, do you have anything else you would like to add?
Get out, I need to finish reading the 16th book.
No. Say goodbye, Michael.
Goodbye, Michael.